I am convinced that when all of the facts are in, when the final tally is made, that we will discover that the prayers of godly mothers have had a greater influence upon our world, have done more to change our society for good than any other single force in all the world. The power of godly praying mothers can never be overestimated. In the text that we read today, we read of a praying mother. A mother who was driven to come to Jesus by the desperation of the situation that she faced at home. By her own confession, she had a daughter who was grievously vexed by a devil. What form that vexation took, we are not told. Whether or not the daughter was just incorrigible, or perhaps had fits of irrationality, or maybe it was manifested in some mental or physical instability. Whatever it was a hard thing to live with. It caused great grief and pain and suffering to the mother. And having heard of Jesus Christ, now hearing that he has come into the very area where she lives, she went out to him in order that she might find help for her daughter. And so desperate was her need that she was not to be denied. She was going to stay there the rest of her life, if necessary, to get the desired help for her daughter. Driven by the grief of the situation, she came. People come to God with different motivations. Sometimes it's sort of a desperate last move. There are other mothers that are motivated by higher motivation. They camp before the Lord because they love their children so much that they desire only God's best for their children. Driven by their love for their children, they pray God's full, rich blessings to be upon their lives, seeking God's guidance, God's purposes to be fulfilled, seeking that their children will grow up to honor God and bring glory to him. They spend hours before God's throne of grace. With this mother, there was no doubt the love for the daughter, but more than that, there was the deep grief because of the desperate need that her daughter had. And she came to Jesus to seek help. And so out of the crowd, we hear her cry, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." But it seemed that Jesus was totally ignoring her cry. It was almost as though she were not there. It was almost as though he did not hear her. There was no response. Before we go any further in this story, I believe that it is very important for us at this point to realize that from the very beginning, Jesus planned to heal her daughter. In fact, it is very possible that this is the very reason why Jesus left the territory of the Jews and went up to the coast of Tyre and Sidon just to minister to this woman's need. All the way along, the Lord had planned to heal her daughter. He never had anything else in his mind. It's important that we realize this, because as we see the attitude of Jesus towards the woman, as we see how he deals with her, if we do not understand this, we're almost prone to get angry with Jesus. That he could be so heartless and unmoved by this mother's need. But John tells us that Jesus knew all men, and he knew what was in man. He did not have to have anyone come and tell him about someone else. He knew all about everybody. He knew all about this woman. He knew what was in her. He knew the depth of faith that was in her heart. And as he was dealing with her, the purposes of his dealing was to draw out the full expression of this woman's faith. Understand that before we go further in this story. His purpose really wasn't just to turn her off, but was to draw out from her the full expression of that faith that he knew that was in her heart. Now, she was saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." But you see, she was seeking to claim a relationship that wasn't hers. And the most vital thing for prayer is relationship. It is really the first prerequisite for prayer, the right relationship with the Lord. If you don't have the right relationship with him, you can pray all day and it won't amount to anything. It'll be wasted time and effort. Isaiah said, "God's hand is not short that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your sins have separated you from your God." You see, if you don't have the right relationship, there is a broken connection. It's like cutting the telephone cord and then trying to call a friend. You may talk all day, you may dial all day, but the cord is cut. And sin cuts that relationship with God. And so right relationship is important for prayer. When she cried, "Thou son of David," that is not her relationship to him. That was the Jews' relationship to him. He came as the son of David to sit upon the throne of David and to establish it in justice and in righteousness, henceforth even forever. But the son of David was a particular relationship only for a Jew. She was a woman of Canaan, actually, a Syrophoenician woman, a Canaanitish woman who had come to Christ. And when she said, "Thou son of David," she was coming to him totally on the wrong relationship. She wasn't a daughter of David, nor of Abraham. Thus, she had no claim to Christ whatsoever as the son of David. Relationship is vital to prayer. Not getting any response from Jesus, she went next to his disciples, who finally came to Jesus and said, "Lord, send her away because she's crying after us." What they were really saying is, "Lord, take care of that daughter. Get her off of our backs. Lord, this woman just is bugging us. Get rid of her, Lord. Meet her need. Answer it, Lord, and get rid of her. Lord, she's really pressing us." And no doubt in her hearing, Jesus said to his disciples, "I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He was speaking of his mission as the Messiah, coming to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But this woman picked up on the phrase "lost sheep." Though she may not be of the house of Israel, she was a lost sheep, and she partially qualified at least. And so she came to Jesus, it said, and she worshiped him. Now, as she worshiped him, she was beginning to get in the right relationship with him. As she knelt there and worshiped him, she actually now began to pray in one of its highest forms, that of just pure worship. Worshiping him for his greatness, for his goodness, for his power, for his love. And she just worshiped Jesus. And then she said, "Lord, help me." When she finally uttered her prayer, it was really quite short. Sometimes we think that we are heard because of our long prayers. I do not know of anywhere in the scripture where it speaks of the efficacy of long prayers. In fact, Jesus said, when you pray, don't be as the heathen who even just repeat themselves over and over again because they think that they'll be heard for the length of their prayers. It isn't really the length of your prayer that counts. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And sometimes it doesn't need to be long to be fervent. It can be very short. Lord, help me. There are situations in which I don't have time for a long prayer. That same prayer has escaped my lips many times as I've seen a car coming my direction out of control, and I feel the helplessness of the situation. I don't have time to get my beads out. It's just a quick, "Lord, help me." But now you see, she is coming in the right relationship. It wasn't, "Son of David, help me." The Son of David was a relationship that she could not attain. That was exclusive for the Jews. But when she said, "Lord," that opened the door, because he is Lord over all. He is the Son of David to Israel, but he is Lord over all. And so when she said, "Lord," that brought her into a universal relationship with Jesus Christ. For every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And now she is brought into that relationship of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, which everyone can know. Jesus said to her, "It isn't right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." Now, at this point, it's important for us to know that in the Greek, there are two words for dogs. The first word in Greek is kuon. And the kuon was a vicious, scavenger, wild, ferocious dog that everybody hated. And it was the common name by which the Jews called the Gentiles. In fact, you remember in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Take not that which is holy and cast it to the kuon, to the wild scavenger, ferocious dogs." But there is another Greek word for dog, which is kunarion. Now, the kunarion was a little puppy, the family pet. The little puppy that was in the house and through the house and up on the couch and following and dogging the kids around, the little kunarion, the puppies, which, as you know, practically become a part of the family. In fact, every one of our dogs inherits our family name. It's Sherman Smith, because he's just a part of the family. And so the kunarion was the family puppy, the family pet. Now, when Jesus said it isn't right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs, which Greek word do you think he used? The wild scavenger dogs or the family pets? You're right. He used the kunarion. It isn't right to take the children's bread and throw it to the little puppies under the table. And she said, "Truth, Lord. But the little puppies under the table eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And Jesus answered, "Woman, great is thy faith." You see, though her daughter was beyond the help of any medical science of that day, or of the present day, though there was nothing that could be done for her daughter by any human agency, though it was a classical hopeless case, yet she realized that just the smallest touch of the Lord was all that she needed. She didn't need some great work to be wrought by Jesus. She realized his power was so tremendous that just a crumb falling from the table could bring the help and the healing that her daughter needed. Oh, woman, great is thy faith. He had drawn her faith out to its full, rich expression. And then he marveled at it. Oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as you will. These were the words she was waiting for. These were the words she was determined she wasn't going to leave until she heard. Be it done unto thee even as you will. And the Bible tells us in the very same hour, her daughter was made whole. Down deep in her heart, she knew that Jesus could be touched. Down deep in her heart, she knew that her daughter could be healed. And knowing that there was only one hope, she was going to hang on until that hope was realized and her daughter was touched. Some of you mothers today who have been concerned for your daughters, your sons, you have seen them and your hearts are concerned for them. Perhaps you're not yet ready to say that they are grievously vexed by the devil, but maybe on the other hand, sometimes you think that could be the case too. Oh, how you need to come before the Lord in prayer. How you need to hold that child up before Him until the Lord says to you, "Oh, woman, great is your faith." You know, I know of nothing in this world more valuable that you can give to your child in prayer. I thank God for the heritage that I have in a godly praying mother. I thank the Lord for the hours that she spent before the throne of God interceding for her son, that he would become all that God wanted him to be. I often wonder where I would be today and what I would be today if it were not for my godly praying mother. Thank God I don't need to wonder, because she was faithful and she gave to me a heritage that throughout eternity I shall be thankful for. Mothers today, you can give your children no greater heritage than to hold them up before the throne of God until God's work is wrought within their lives. relationship. That's first. You need to first of all establish your relationship with Jesus Christ. Not as a master teacher, not as a master philosopher, not as a good person, not as a prophet, but as Lord. And when you come to that relationship of Jesus as Lord, then the door is open. And then you can begin to lay out before Him the needs of your family, your children. You can begin to hold them up and strengthen them and help them and guide them and bless them through prayer. They say that man is mighty. He rules the land and sea. He holds a mighty scepter over the lesser powers that be. But a stronger hand and mightier man from his throne is hurled. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. The tremendous influence of mothers. God help your influence to be for good and righteousness. In Jesus' name. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You that we have established a relationship with You, whereby we can come before You daily, boldly, bringing our needs, our requests, our petitions, and knowing, Lord, that You hear, and because You hear, You answer. Father, how grateful we are that Jesus has opened the door for us to come into Thy presence and to worship Thee. We pray, Lord, today that You will call godly mothers unto intercessory prayer in order that the course of this nation might be changed, Lord, so that the destiny of this generation might be changed. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Shall we stand? Today we would encourage you to first establish your relationship with God, and then establish your prayer life. O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. What glorious words. What these women of faith have accomplished and wrought for the kingdom's sake. Even the story here. This woman's faith just didn't help her daughter, but it said they began to come from all over the area, bringing all that were sick and blind and lamed and halt, and they were all of them healed. Her faith opened the door for the whole community to receive the blessings of God's love. The prayer room is on the far right over here, and really it isn't just a place for mothers to establish relationship. But some of you dads who are here because it's Mother's Day and they finally hooked you and you had to come, it would be well for you to establish relationship today also. A relationship that can do nothing but enrich your life forever. Bring you joy and completeness and glory like you can't believe. And we would encourage you, as soon as the service is dismissed, to go on over to the prayer room on the far right over here, the door that goes behind the block wall. And some of the pastors will be back there to pray with you and to help you discover a new relationship with God, which will open up God's blessings and glory and abundance for your life, for your family's life, for the community, as you exercise the privileges that God has given to us in prayer. May the Lord be with you. May the Lord bless you this week, give you a glorious week. May He fill your heart to just overflowing with His love and with His beauty and with His glory. May you walk in His presence. May you feel the nearness of His presence, and the power of His Holy Spirit strengthening you, guiding you, and helping you throughout the entire week. In Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. If you would like further information on any of our products or to receive our free catalog, contact The Word for Today. The address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Or you may reach us by our toll-free number, 1-800-272-WORD. That's 1-800-272-WORD.